Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and welcome to episode 73 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? There's a lot going on. There's a lot to cover, so I guess we'll start out by following the money. As you probably know, in what will be known as the McCutcheon decision, the Supreme Court has removed more limits on campaign contributions. Now, you know, this is great because the rich have been totally unrepresented in our political system. I mean, they have no power, no access, and have been treated so poorly that it's good the Supreme Court is looking out for them. What the McCutcheon decision says is there is no more maximum limit on how many candidates you can contribute money to. There's a campaign finance limit of $5,200. That's how much any individual can give to any single candidate during a two-year election cycle. And up until now, that same individual donor was limited to $123,200 per cycle. And the Supreme Court said, that's ridiculous. How can you limit someone to only giving $123,000 to politicians over 2 years? I mean, that's barely enough to spread any influence. So they've removed that limit, and you can donate as much as you want and influence as many races as you want nationwide, and good for them. Good for them, because, you know, the Constitution and fairness and laws and all that have really been getting in the way of campaign contributions and politicians. You know how bad this decision is? John McCain is against this decision, okay? Once again, you couldn't find an older conservative than John McCain, but I guess you can, because Mitch McConnell, who is the head of the GOP in the Senate, said, this just respects the constitutional rights of individuals to decide how many to support. So listen, you poor people, you want representation? You step up your donations. That's right. What's wrong with you people? You get some money and you start donating. Think you're going to be represented for free? This is Congress. This is the United States government. Damn it. Unbelievable. But then again, not unbelievable. I mean, they struck down voter rights and you know, they're allowing racism back into elections and so on. So why not allow more money at the same time? What's really great about this? Today is Friday, and Friday, April 4th, and the front page story in USA Today, the $100 million club. Yeah, it seems full-time workers, that's you poor folks, median wages went up 1.4% to $40,872 here in the U.S. Median CEO compensation, including salary, bonuses, perks, stock options, etc. You don't get any of those etc.? Poor bastard. Anyway, that median went up 13% to $10.5 million. And of course, the big winner, Mark Zuckerberg, who runs Facebook, he made $3.3 billion. Larry Ellison from Oracle made $150 million. Starbucks CEO made $142 million, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're making all this great money, and it's good to know that now they have something to spend it on. They can all buy politicians. Good for them. The rich get richer. In another tragic, and I hesitate to say tragic only because this is commonplace, we've had another mass shooting at a military base in Texas. Ivan Lopez went off, shot and killed three people and himself at Fort Hood. Now, I hate to say this, but this kind of ruins that whole NRA thing that if we all had assault weapons, there wouldn't be any more mass shootings, because this is the second mass shooting on an Army base, and I would think there's no place where more people have assault weapons and are trained to use them than on an Army base. Of course, he got his gun at good old Guns Galore, same shop that sold the gun to Nadal Hassan. You remember Nadal Hassan back in 2009? He went berserk at Fort Hood and killed a bunch of people. We won't learn. This is our culture. We accept it. We approve it. You don't think we approve it? Mississippi governor just signed a law that the second week in September will be Second Amendment week, and there's no tax on guns purchased in Mississippi in the second week of September. So if you're planning ahead, you might want to zip on down to Mississippi and save 7% when you buy your assault weapon for your next mass shooting, and good for them. It's all about the money. You can't just be wasting money on mass shootings. And, you know, I'm not belittling this topic to those who suffer and the victims and the families of victims, etc. It's just that we have to, at some point, as a civilized society, get past this insanity and understand what happened to rights in the Constitution. It's just the twisting of it between this campaign finance thing. You know, which campaign finance laws were created to limit undue influence of certain individuals on campaigns. And yet we've completely twisted that around to some crazy laws that allow the fewest individuals the most influence on campaigns. The Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, exists, and it's okay, you know, for common sense. There's no common that hunters, gun collectors, that's okay. You enjoy shooting, that's fine. But how many mass shootings before we say, you know something, maybe we need to get some form of regulation? It can't be a completely unregulated thing where you just grab any gun you want, shoot as many people as you want. These are the things, this is what's funny, these are the things that are fine with our society. Yes, I'm talking to you, right wing. These are the things that are fine with the right wing. However, Obamacare, you know, health care for the masses, they consider the worst thing. I have to laugh because you've heard the rhetoric. It's the worst thing that happened. What does Ben Carson say? Since slavery? Yeah, a doctor. And God bless the Republican Party. I admire them. And this is what I admire. The Republican Party has poor people who don't have health insurance, who don't have a hospital nearby, who don't have health care, voting against and absolutely hating the Affordable Care Act. At the same time, you have these same poor people who are working at Walmart or some other minimum wage job against raising the minimum wage because that would affect the rich owners of the corporation. So kudos to that brilliance of getting people to literally, do you know how hard that is to get someone to actually sit there and argue against their own best interest? How many millions, and it is millions, if not tens of millions, that of poor people, people below the poverty line in all these southern states, Kentucky and Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama and all these other states that take more from the federal government than they give. They're poor. They're poor states with poor economies. They have their people marching in the street just pissed off against their own health care or raising the minimum wage. That's amazing. That's an amazing level of salesmanship. And, you know, as I said, Obamacare, as of March 31st, they did achieve the 7 million people that were, you know, they were hoping to sign up. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. You know how government numbers are. It depends on which side you're talking to. But here's the interesting thing. You know how they always claim Obamacare is un-American? Just a couple of quick quotes, because I'm not going to re-argue this whole thing. Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, another one of these right-wing think tanks, Obamacare is an assault on individual liberty. The Wall Street Journal, which used to be a respected newspaper, but now is heading toward Fox News in print, they says, the Obama administration's assertion of power under the Affordable Care Act, quote, changed the structure of American government as it has existed for 225 years to an extent that endangers individual liberty. They're always worried about that individual liberty. Well, guess what the founding fathers had to say about that individual liberty? And this is what I love, because reading always gets in the way of their arguments. John Adams was considered one of the most conservative thinkers amongst the founding fathers, said, "If a majority are capable of preferring their own private interest or that of families, counties, and party to that of the nation collectively, some provision must be made in Constitution in favor of justice to compel all to respect the common right, the public good, the universal law, in preference to all private and partial considerations." So what he's saying is the common good is more important than the individual, and health insurance is to the common good. Okay, make no mistake, health coverage is for the common good. Right now, it's amazing that you have to argue that, but that is an argument. Thomas Jefferson, I think we know who Thomas Jefferson said. Thomas Jefferson was. He said, "It will be said that great societies cannot exist without government." Do you understand? The founding fathers understood the need of government, and they understood that the group was more important than the individual. That's not socialism. That's the founding fathers of the United States. Finally, James Madison wrote, "If men were angels, no government would be necessary." Well, guess what? Men are not angels, nor are women. I'm not going to be sexist on this one. Stupid runs both ways. I don't know what else to say about this. You know, I'd like to say that there's a possibility of change, but there isn't. Obamacare is here, and it's the law, and people have health insurance. And you know what? Here's a question I have. Where are the death panels? Where are the death panels? You know something? Those are federal jobs. People could be working. You remember the death panels. You remember when Sarah Palin said that there would be death panels to decide if sick children get care or just are allowed to die. And where are they? Federal jobs going to waste. What are you doing, Obama? You get it together. All right. That may be enough on the real news front. Now let's move into crazy, because you know I like crazy. Creationists, you know the creationists, the ones who think science is a waste of time because it's all in the good book. In South Carolina, and I know you're amazed that this story takes place in South Carolina, the congressman blocking an 8-year-old girl's idea for a state fossil. Okay, really quick, this is what happened. There's a third grade girl, Olivia McConnell. She saw that all 50 states had symbols, you know, for different things. You have a state folk dance, a state song, state opera, blah, blah, blah. Well, they are state fossils. And she thought that South Carolina, the state fossil should be that of a woolly mammoth, because the first discovery of a woolly mammoth in North America was found in South Carolina. So she talked to her parents and she wrote a letter recommending this. But a couple of state senators found out about this little 8-year-old girl trying to undermine Jesus and put a stop to it right away. Senator Kevin Bryant, a pharmacist and self-described born-again Christian. I have to laugh because he's a pharmacist, but you know, and this guy, he's on top of it. He's compared Barack Obama to Osama bin Laden and so on. The usual type. Vetoed funding for a rape crisis center and calls climate change a hoax. So obviously this is a pharmacist who's up on science. He blocked the proposed amendment. Now understand that these are the amendments that are kind of like a joke. Like the whole, they put up these things now and then, the state fossil, and everybody has a good laugh, and you exhale, because it's one that doesn't take a lot of thinking. And you rubber stamp it, and you give the little girl a commendation for coming up with the idea, and you move on. Oh no, not Kevin Bryant. Kevin Bryant said, "Stop it. You must amend the bill to include three verses from the book of Genesis entailing God's creation of the earth and its living inhabitants, including those woolly mammoths. This is the kind of guy that is sitting at a showing of the movie Noah and jumping up and down and saying, that's not right. That's not accurate. That's not true. And it'd be great if he was the only one. But no, Senator Mike Fair, a colleague of Bryant's, and his district includes Bob Jones University, which to say is conservative is to say water is wet. He has no contention of blocking the bill, but he wants to rewrite the amendment. So, you got to get in some stuff there about natural selection because, you know, all this fossil stuff might lead to thoughts of evolution, which, as we all know, is an evil, devil-spawned idea, or science, one or the other. Good luck there, South Carolina. And while we're on the topic of the South and crazy, Florida's got a problem with black bears. It seems like so many other places, and I live in California, we have the same problem here. They're building too close to woodland areas, to areas where animals live. So in Florida, they're having a problem with black bears because they build in California, it's in the hills, and Florida, I guess it's into the swamps because Florida doesn't have a hill. They're having a problem. Black bears, they don't know that this is a new suburban development called Shady Acres. What they see are swimming pools, which look like lakes, and plenty of free grub in the trash cans and in the refrigerator out back in the garage and whatever else. So the bears are coming in. And they're having a problem because they want to shoot the black bears, but it's illegal to shoot the black bears, which is very interesting because it's not illegal to shoot black kids. Well, I don't get it. Florida, you can stand your ground against a black teenager, but a black bear, you have to go to the government and talk to them and say, we have a problem. So my solution, if you're young and black in Florida, you probably should be wearing a bear suit. Just going to throw it out there. Maybe it's something you can try. Try a bear suit. Illegal to shoot bears. Finally, and you know how much I love sports, so I'm going to wrap this up with a sporting story. We are in the midst of March Madness. We're up to the Final Four. It is without a doubt the greatest tournament in sports. This year, the highest rated. There have been overtime games. It's been fantastic. As we know, no one won the $1 billion that Warren Buffett put up if you had a perfect bracket. Let's face it, the Final Four, there's nothing like it. My favorite score in the Final Four, 388,500 to nothing. What is that? Oh, that's the money. 388,500 is the total bonus money that the four coaches are getting for leading their college teams to the Final Four. Zero is the amount the players are getting for playing their way into the Final Four. It has to stop. Thankfully, there are lawsuits going on. The NCAA structure is coming to an end. They hate it. They don't want to see it, but it's true because this is ridiculous, okay? And before you start with the arguments about will they get a college education, you know something? They don't because their scholarships are year to year. So you can get cut. You can be in school and then just suddenly get cut and lose your scholarship. The kids deserve money. They deserve a guaranteed education. And what I mean by that is full college paid for at any point in their lives. Because when you're playing ball, you're playing ball. You're traveling. You have long days. You have practice. Your job is to be a ball player. So at any point in your life, you want to go back to school and finish, that should be covered. I don't know what medical care, did an extended period of health care, because these kids, you know, most of them don't go pro and they end up with busted up knees, and football players end up with concussions and so on, and they should be taken care of. And yes, they should be treated different because they're in revenue producing sports. Listen, I'm sorry if you play college lacrosse or field hockey or if you're on the dive team, you don't get the money. But if you play major football or major basketball, you deserve some of the money. You know why? Because you're bringing in millions. It's ridiculous. It needs to stop. Most of the players are not going pro. Most of the players are not one and done unless they play for Kentucky. Does anyone at Kentucky actually go to class or graduate? No. You go to the NBA. It's NBA school, which I'm okay with. Play the game, but give them some money for doing that. But let's stop pretending. So kudos to Northwestern University football players who have received the right to unionize. And I hope Ed O'Bannon wins his court case with EA Sports and the NCAA for using his likeness and the likeness of so many college ball players to make money on video games, and that this NCAA structure crumbles, because this is a multi-billion-dollar enterprise and the kids get nothing legally. God forbid one of them gets caught getting a pizza from an agent. Then he's banned. And when they transfer schools, they should be allowed to play instantly. None of this 1 year. Because when the coach quits and goes to another school, he coaches right away. Come on. Let's stop it. Thank God that, you know something? These student athletes are getting an education. They're learning. They're being taken advantage of. And they're fighting it. So kudos and good for them. April 19th, I'm at the Carlsbad Theater in beautiful Carlsbad, California. I'm going to be hanging around L.A. the second half of April at the Laugh Factory and who knows where else. Just check alonzoboden.com. I love you guys. Thanks for listening. Keep paying attention.